An arbitrator has ruled that several nurses fired for not taking the COVID jabs should get their jobs back. More evidence continues to come out suggesting that COVID was indeed created in a laboratory. Twitter decides to reinstate its misgendering and deadnaming policy. Our federal government decides to spend billions of tax dollars on aid for Ukraine, bailouts for Canadian universities, and supporting the floundering CBC. Our goal, as always, is to bring you news, culture, and politics from a distinctly Christian, conservative, and Canadian perspective. It's March 7th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. This is Liberty Dispatch News Brief. The Politics in the Pulpit Conference is designed to help Christians engage in the political and cultural spheres in effective and godly ways. Rather than keep politics out of the pulpit, Christians must speak boldly and clearly into Canadian culture and politics. So we are pleased to announce our Politics in the Pulpit Conference. You can join us at one of three locations. We're going to be in Weston, Nova Scotia on April 20th, Ingersoll, Ontario on May the 4th, and New Westminster, BC on May 25th. Head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politicsinthepulpit and register today. Seats are limited, so make sure you secure your spot now. You can also email us at churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com if you want to financially support and donate toward the cost of the conference. If you believe that this is something that is valuable and needed, really necessary and unique in Canada, a conference to help equip Christians and Canadians to engage politically, in activism, in social responsibility, then please email us at churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com and support and donate toward the conference. But again, that's libertycoalitioncanada.com/politicsinthepulpit. Make sure you register for one of those three locations today. It's going to be a great time. Hope to see you there. The real COVID stories are about the alleged CCP agent in Winnipeg lab and the RCMP finally investigating ArriveCan, but we'll dive into those real stories next week. I mean, that's the real scandal regarding COVID, is those two things. But for now, what we have are some lesser COVID stories, which on their own are still pretty significant. First of all, an arbitrator has ruled that nine Ontario nurses who were fired for not offering proof of two COVID injections to their employers should be reinstated because their termination was deemed unreasonable. James Hayes, the arbitrator, wrote, quote, "Nurses intent on remaining unvaccinated are a small minority everywhere, but their employee rights may not be ignored," close quote. Hayes also asserted that the jab mandates were, quote, "well-motivated, driven as it was by genuine safety concerns," close quote, which of course we know is unscientific and lawless garbage, but at least he's recognizing that they couldn't be held over these people the way that they were. Hayes also wrote that the nurses, quote, "should have been placed on unpaid leaves of absence," close quote. Now, while this is great news, considering the tens of thousands of healthcare workers across our country that were fired without true legal or scientific justification, this is still a grave injustice in our country. However, we rejoice over the nine who have gotten their jobs back. That's good news. There's also no doubt that COVID mandates in our country created medical apartheid, establishing two classes of citizens in Canada. Countless people, such as the Toronto Star contributor that was okay with unjabbed people dying and not wasting hospital resources to save them, they quite relish people like me being treated as lepers. Now, many MPs also felt the same way. So while discussing the ArriveCan debacle recently, which again, we're going to cover on a future show, MP Colin Carey said, quote, "We look back to ArriveScan and how it started in 2021 during the election, and we see it was used to say to Canadians that unvaccinated Canadians were a danger to vaccinated Canadians. It was the demonization of millions of Canadians," close quote, which is all very accurate. Now, Liberal MP and slimy gargoyle Kevin Lamoureux responded in a low, growly voice as he lurched over the rooftop at midnight, quote, "The MAGA conservative far right is coming out. These are the ones who still deny the pandemic. At the end of the day, thank goodness Canadians and the majority of the people in the House saw the value of protecting the health and well-being of Canadians, and that the far right was marginalized back then. So just your daily reminder that if you value your freedom and exercise your rights, our elected officials actually hate your guts and want nothing to do with seeing your freedoms protected and your rights upheld. Now, last week, we covered a story about scientists finding several impurities in the COVID jabs with things such as DNA plasmids. Well, it turns out that internal records obtained by the Epoch Times reveal that a senior Health Canada official removed the mention of, quote, high level of impurity, close quote, in the COVID jabs in an assessment destined to Canada's chief medical advisor. Quote, I'm very wary of the fourth bullet on impurities that Dr. Klein had put in, close quote, Health Canada's senior advisor Poudavan Anoop wrote in a December 14, 2023 email referring to the internal Health Canada assessment written by Dr. Agnes Klein, a senior medical advisor with Health Canada. Mr. Anoop's email was addressed to his superior, Sophie Summerer, Director General of Health Canada's Biologic and Radiopharmaceutical Drugs Directorate, the BRDD. The unit is responsible for approving vaccines. Quote, does this mean with the impurity levels caused by frameshift, the vaccines would not pass muster, notwithstanding the fact that the translated proteins are not harmful, close quote, Mr. Anoop asked in his email. He later told his superior that he, quote, struck out, close quote, a paragraph drawn from the original assessment mentioning the, quote, high level of impurity, close quote. Now, for anyone who was paying attention, in Canada, senior medical officials knew, now without any doubt, that the COVID jabs contained seriously harmful materials. And they intentionally hid that information before passing the jabs up to be approved by Health Canada. Basically, they should all be fired, arrested, tried, and punished under the law for this gross evil and injustice. Now, let's shine some more light, shall we? This is from the Toronto Sun. Quote, a professor in the U.S. suggests that evidence of COVID-19 being created in a Chinese lab has reached smoking gun levels. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist at Rutgers University, told the Wall Street Journal's Nicholas Wade that the coronavirus may have actually been created in China's Wuhan Institute of Virology. He used a 2018 document from the lab as evidence that referenced making such a virus. Quote, the document elevates the evidence provided by the genome sequence from the level of noteworthy to the level of a smoking gun, close quote, Ebright claimed, according to the Wall Street Journal. Drafts and notes from the papers mention a grant proposal called Project Defuse, which detailed how to engineer bat coronaviruses to make them more transmissible. Quote, viruses made according to the Defuse protocol could have been available by the time COVID-19 broke out, sometime between August and November 2019, close quote. Wade, a former science editor in the New York Times, wrote in the article, quote, this would account for the otherwise unexplained timing of the pandemic along with its place of origin, close quote. And just like that, my full-bodied tinfoil armor has received a row of jewels on the left shoulder and some gold gilding over the wrists. I remember when I was called all sorts of awful things for suggesting this some 3 years ago, but as we've said before, the only difference between a conspiracy theory and the truth is about 6 months. But the thing that is going to add a glorious tinfoil shield with diamonds embedded around the edge is this next story. The CDC, the communist demonic charlatans, that's what I call them, formerly known as the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, has finally changed its guidance for masks and testing regarding COVID. This is from CBS News. Quote, COVID-19 remains an important public health threat, but it is no longer the emergency that it once was, and its health impacts increasingly resemble those of other respiratory viral illnesses, close quote, the agency said Friday in a report justifying its decision. Now, it was never a serious public health threat to begin with, and the numbers have always borne that out, as long as you weren't listening to the radical modeling coming out of the Imperial College, or as long as your face wasn't glued to the TV as you were taking in information from legacy media. So again, this is nothing new. We've known this for a while. So continuing, quote, instead of offering recommendations specific to COVID-19, the agency said it would switch to offering a unified practical approach to addressing risk from the virus alongside influenza and RSV. In other words, we should just treat COVID like the flu. This just in, we should have always treated COVID like it was the flu. And many of us did that 4 years ago because our health agencies have thoroughly beclowned and discredited themselves as status propagandists. We should have always taken this, a unified practical approach to addressing risk. This is exactly what people were calling for 4 years ago. But finally, the CDC has to come out with this because there's no way of denying that COVID is behind us. Do you love coffee? What about free coffee? What about free shipping on free coffee? It's time to consider becoming a resistance outpost. The mission of Resistance Coffee Company is to supply the resistance with premium, fresh roasted coffee. In order to do this, they want to partner with like-minded people to develop a network of outposts across the country. If you love free coffee and free shipping as much as free markets, get in touch with Resistance Coffee and become an outpost today. Email them at info@resistancecoffee.com. Also, make sure that when you buy your coffee and merch from resistancecoffee.com, you use the promo code LIBERTY10, that's the word LIBERTY and the number 10, to get 10% off of your purchases. resistancecoffee.com, use the promo code LIBERTY10, that's the word LIBERTY and the number 10, become an outpost, email info@resistancecoffee.com. Free coffee, free shipping, you can help to fuel the resistance today. Moving on to some woke news, Twitter has decided to reinstate its policy on misgendering and dead naming, or as we like to call them, telling the truth about how God created people and what their parents actually named them. So much for Elon being a bastion of free speech. I mean, but what else would you expect from a guy who wears a demonic Baphomet costume for Halloween? Anyways, here's the wording on Twitter's harassment policy page. Quote, where required by local laws, we will reduce the visibility of posts that purposefully use different pronouns to address someone other than what that person uses for themselves, or that use a previous name that someone no longer goes by as part of their transition. Given the complexity of determining whether such a violation has occurred, we must always hear from the target to determine if a violation has occurred, close quote. So that's a move in the wrong direction. And if Twitter is going to pull something down because you dead name and misgender because they consider it harassment, then you can clearly see that that would be evidence in favor of the federal government if you say, for example, engage in some sort of hate speech and violate the what they hope to pass is the online harms bill. Let's move on. This is from the Post-Millennial. Quote, the town of Cambridge, Ontario is in the process of developing a new recreation center which will ditch regular sex-segregated change rooms in favor of a glass-walled, universal, gender-neutral common area. During a recent city council meeting at which the proposal to go ahead with the plans was approved, 7-2, a woman from nearby Kitchener, Janice Fiaschetti, tried to draw attention to the potential misuse of such a space. She said having these open areas whereby, for example, a young child or a young female can be changing, using the washroom, or showering with men who very well could be naked or choose not to cover themselves would not be a safe environment for them. That's completely correct. Now, she continued adding that naked women would also be impacted if there were young males present. Right. Now, eventually, Mayor Jan Liggett asked Janice to stop talking because no one likes their gods questioned and their false religion criticized. But Janice did not listen. And security was then ordered to remove her. Now let's recap. Here's a woman fighting to protect the safety of girls, And when she raises her concerns during a council meeting, she's told to stop being rational and logical, and she's forced to leave. More reasons why you need to pull your kids out of state-funded education, because these are the kinds of people on council, city councils and school councils, that actually don't care about the protection of your children at all. Now, let's finish off the woke news with a spot of good news. Some city councils are actually not captured by godless ideologies. So this is from True North News. Quote, an Alberta town has passed a bylaw allowing only government flags and banning any non-standard crosswalks, removing the town's current pride-colored crosswalk. Only federal, provincial, and municipal flags may be flown on flagpoles on the town of Westlock municipal property. All crosswalks in the town of Westlock must be the standard white stripe pattern between two parallel white lines. The existing rainbow-colored crosswalk in the town of Westlock must be removed. Now, the final vote results tallied Thursday night were close, with 663 people voting yes and 639 people voting no. Now, that number is way too close for comfort. And looking how things are trending, I think it's fair to say they will not be able to hold that line forever, maybe another election or two or even three before you only need about a 20-person swing in favor of bringing back the sodomite crosswalks. Now, let's wrap up with some financial news, shall we? Our prime feminist, Justin Trudeau, has announced that he would like to send the Ukraine $3.02 billion of our tax dollars, including $4 million for, quote, a gender and diversity working group to promote gender transformative mine action in Ukraine, close quote. That was a real sentence that I just read. Now, this is from our government's website, quote, Canada will provide critical financial and military support to Ukraine in 2024, including new financial support for Ukraine to meet its balance of payments and budgetary needs and stabilize its economy, close quote. Now, what is supremely ironic, what's really a delicious slice of ironic chocolate cake, is that our economy in Canada is slowly destabilizing because of wasteful spending. So we will continue to throw money away. We will devastate our economy in order to help fix the Ukraine's economy. Brilliant. I mean, that makes sense to me. Let's destroy Canada's economy in order to help Ukraine, even though it's not actually going to help Ukraine. So that's the logic of our overlords here in Canada. Now, you would think that the fiscally responsible conservatives would freak out at this, right? I mean, they would say, we cannot send the Ukraine $3 billion. We can't have $4 million be for some sort of gender-affirming nonsense in the Ukraine. Well, nope, not at all, actually. In fact, the devil in the blue dress, the sneaky liberal himself, Pierre Poilievre, actually criticized Justin Trudeau for not doing enough. Listen to this.
And it will be conservatives who will continue to stand with the Ukrainian people now against the illegal, unjustifiable, and ego-driven bloodshed initiated by Vladimir Putin. We will stand up every day and every way in favor of the export of 83,000 CRV-7 missiles that the Ukrainian government has asked for. We also call on the government to keep its promise that thus far has been broken to deliver air defense systems, $400 million of which were announced in on January 10th, 2023. Putin has said he wants our Arctic. We know that once he defeats one country that he invades, he will move on to the next. His appetite for expansionism is insatiable. We stand with you now and always. Slava Ukraini.
So a couple things there. First of all, the real monster with an insatiable appetite is the woke monster and the progressive monster that seeks to devour and destroy Western culture and to essentially dissolve our rights and freedoms and attack directly the thing upon which Western culture is built, which is biblical Christianity. And the reason I say that is Putin is not the real threat. The real threat is this godless ideology and those who would push it. And here is Pierre Poilievre on the side of the threat. More money, more wasteful spending, more weapons to Ukraine, more globalism. Here are your Canadian conservatives. Now, speaking of wasting money on failed institutions, this is from CTV News. Quote, Ontario's colleges and universities minister says the province will put an additional $1.3 billion over 3 years towards stabilizing post-secondary institutions, but will keep tuition fees frozen for at least 3 more years. I'm sure that'll be totally fine and won't have any negative effect on schools or our economy or debt. Let's continue. A government commission report released in November said that low levels of provincial funding to colleges and universities, combined with a tuition cut and freeze in 2019, are posing a significant threat to the financial sustainability of the sector. Minister Jill Dunlop says today that the government will put $903 million over 3 years into a new post-secondary education sustainability fund, with some of that money set aside for institutions with the highest financial need. The rest of the funding will go to capital funding, some STEM program costs, and research and innovation projects, among other initiatives. Close quote. Now, post-secondary educations are failing because they've become woke hive minds, graduating purple-haired feminists with degrees in two-spirited basket weaving and new dancing. And lots of people are fed up with this garbage. The real solution is to just let these schools fail and close. By the way, you can lump into that public schools, elementary and high school. Let all the state-funded public education burn to the ground, metaphorically, as it should, because it's become a woke, cancer-ridden institution. Now, finally, because our federal government's wasteful spending and fiscal irresponsibility is essentially a bottomless pit of ineptitude, why not throw more money at the CPC, the Canadian Pravda Corporation, formerly known as the CBC? Now, this also is from CTV News. Quote, Canada's public broadcaster is getting an increase in funding despite executives insisting that a request to cut CBC Radio Canada's budget for the next fiscal year was one reason they announced layoffs for 10% of staff. Documents Canadian Heritage released on Thursday show CBC will get a $1.4 billion budget in 2024-25, an increase from the $1.3 billion it spent in the previous fiscal year. It's about a $90 million increase, documents say. The broadcaster announced in December it would cut 800 jobs and $40 million from its production budget because of a $125 million projected shortfall for the coming fiscal year, which begins on April 1st, close quote. Again, this is an institution that has been captured by a woke progressive ideology. The CBC is the state-funded propaganda arm. It is the Ministry of Truth for Big Brother. It is failing and floundering. And rather than let the thing die as it should, our federal government is quite literally hell-bent on keeping this thing on life support by pouring more and more of our tax dollars into it. But what else would you expect? Well, there you have it, friends. You are all up to date. And my advice to you would be that as long as you do the exact opposite of what our federal government says and does, you should experience some measure of flourishing. So don't spend yourself into debt you can't pay back. Don't invest any time or money into the public school system at all levels. Make sure to spend time really examining and researching everything our health establishment tells you is best for you and your family. Do not take them at their word, but do your own research. If you do these things, which again is exactly the opposite of what the elite gargoyles are telling you to do, I think you'll be fine. Remember to head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit and register for our Politics in the Pulpit conference today. It is going to be a wonderful time. I'm personally looking forward to being at all three locations across the country And so I look forward to meeting you if you are there. LibertyCoalitionCanada.com/politics in the pulpit. And again, if you want to support the work, if you are thinking, hey, we want to see this conference succeed and we believe in it because it's necessary and because it is valuable in our country, then email us churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com. We can help you do just that. Until next time, Galatians 5:1. Liberty Dispatch has been brought to you in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week and has been produced by SDG Media. You can find all things Liberty Coalition Canada at libertycoalitioncanada.com.